Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on the farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, mama and daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Amen, 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 and amen. Hallelujah. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. As the song said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. You know, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to thy saying, and let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That is so, so profound, so powerful. It carries that dunamis impact. Because when we recognize that God's word is life, and that when we seek it, we will find it, and when we find it, we receive the rewards. Oh, that's healing, not just to our physical flesh, but to our spirit, to our soul, our mind, to help us exercise the right will to do what God called us to do. Oh, yeah, God's word is powerful. And let's say good evening. I'm excited about being here today because this is the golden opportunity to gain a little bit more of that knowledge so that we can go forward and be victorious in our walk. Truly, when he says that he wants our life to be filled with abundance, it's success in God. It's success in God, not the abundance that the world seeks, but this abundance that is eternal forever and ever and ever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your forgiveness of our sins. Oh, Father God, we want to be able to come to the throne with boldness, with confidence that we know that, Father God, we humble ourselves to you, Father God. You hear our prayers. And you, Father God, will determine, Father God, from the plan you have for our life, from the beginning to the end to the beginning, these prayers, Father God, that align with your will, hallelujah, will be answered. Father God, right now, we just pray, Father God, for the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, Father God, through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, to gain what we need to move forward in this walk, Father God, with you. So that we be effective, Father God, in what we're called to do. Father God, we'll be the difference that makes a difference. As your 12 disciples went forward, Father God, as they gained the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, as they walked with Jesus, and when they received the Holy Spirit, Father God, a light came on that, Father, expelled the darkness of ignorance. So I thank you, Father God, this day. We will begin to move in you as you impart the knowledge on me. Father, let it go forward in you to those who have ears to hear. Let me decrease and the Holy Spirit increase. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, again, I am happy to be here, excited to be here, because I know that this is a golden opportunity. Every day that God gives us life, we have to celebrate it. I had went to a retirement, if you will, and birthday party all simultaneously. And as I was talking, the individual retired and was 60 years old, and they had did 30 years of work as a teacher. And the blessing of it all that when God says he's going to give us long life, when I spoke, I explained that sometimes we look at long life by the years. But if we look at them by the days, we will really recognize how we're blessed. And 60 years is 21,800 days. God promised us long life, and he will show us his salvation. So this day is a golden opportunity to add to the days that God gives us when he gives us long life. And these days that he gives us should give us the boldness to declare the works of the Lord, because he didn't let us die. So let's celebrate this day of the golden opportunity to gain more knowledge of knowing God. Not know of God, but knowing God. Hallelujah. Today's quote is, he who can't be a good follower can't be a good leader. The number of followers you have does not make you better than anyone else. Hitler had millions, but Jesus had 12. Humble enough to know I am not better than anybody and wise enough to know that I am different from the rest. When God made you as his masterpiece, you were unique because there was no one like you. So if you're struggling a little bit with who you are and the value of who you are, this day, recognize that you are that masterpiece. You are the Picasso. You are the individual that God designed in a way that can't nobody be like you. You don't have to be better than somebody else. You just got to be your best self. Hallelujah. When I was young, I used to wish I would fit in. I'm glad I didn't get my wish. I need to say that one again. When I was young, I used to wish I would fit in. Today, I'm glad I didn't get my wish. You are that unique individual. You are that unique individual. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture tells us, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Luke 9:23. Philippians 2:6-8 says, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider himself equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by coming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let me say that again. Who, being a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. I was talking to my pastor, and we had this conversation. And he said that there are not many of the Martin Luther Kings, the Gandhis, the Malcolm X, and the Kennedys, and what have you, the leaders who were willing to die for their belief. And definitely not many Jesus Christ, because there's only one. We have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to die for? What are we willing to die to? See, if we're not willing to die, put our body under subjection, submit our body to God as a willing sacrifice, then what are we talking about? Because no matter what we do, we have to be willing to die to something. You have to give up your time, your peace, your sleep, your pleasures. You have to be willing to die to be a servant, to be a follower. And many are not willing to do that. So I want to share a little story with you. Hallelujah. There once was a well-educated, highly successful man who inherited a great deal of money from his parents that he didn't have prior to this inheritance. He never had to work through it or go out of his way to really succeed. He didn't believe that he had to follow anyone and any rules. However, one day, while walking his dog, he saw a seasoned gentleman walking his dog, for which he noticed every day. But he didn't look like the rest of the people in the neighborhood, who dressed nice in nice clothes, drove nice expensive cars, and just looked wealthy. But he decided he would talk to them to see if he could help them find a solution to his problem. As the seasoned gentleman and him began to converse, the young man would frequently interrupt the seasoned wise gentleman and inject his own beliefs, now allowing the seasoned gentleman to finish any sentence. Finally, the seasoned gentleman stopped talking and offered the man a cup of tea. When the seasoned gentleman poured the tea, he kept pouring until the cup became full and began to overflow. The young man said, "Stop pouring. The cup is full." The seasoned gentleman stopped and said, "Similar, you are too full of your own opinion. You want my help, but you have no room in your own cup to receive my words." You see, the moral of the story is the season, gentlemen, can be a reminder that to be a follower, one must be willing to allow something to be poured out in order, which is those old beliefs, in order to be filled with something new. When we unconsciously hold on to our old beliefs, we become rigid and closed-minded to learn and receive new knowledge. For when the student is ready, the teacher will come and pour this, if you will, the new tea into the teacup of the new man, who is ready to follow before he can be he or she can lead. Always be open to learning by being willing to follow the Holy Spirit that God will send our way when we are truly ready to follow. Many people want to be successful. Many people want to be the Michael Jordans, the Oprah Winfreys, the Bill Gates. But are you willing to follow the steps they did? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Because before you can step into true leadership, you have to understand how to follow. And that leads us into what the message is today. Humble followers prepare for service. Have you ever heard people say, I'm not a follower, I'm a leader? Or don't be a follower? Or be yourself and not a follower? Often I wonder why people would say such statements, because I thought to myself, one has to follow in order to be prepared to lead. However, in another part of my life, I understood why people would make these comments, because of their conditioning, their training, and environment that didn't support the ideal of being a follower as being a role one would want to even consider. Think about it. Just in recent events, such as the basketball championship game, how much did you hear about the teammates? Most of the news covers was on the MVP, the captain. And how about the business world? Do they ever talk, and when you think about it, they only talk about the CEOs, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey. You're not going to hear too much about HR, the HR department, the financial department, and surely not the maintenance department, because their role doesn't get acknowledged. Being in that subordinate position doesn't get much hype. So why would someone want to follow? Even during biblical times, it wasn't the soldier that got the real credit. It was the kings and the queens and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of those who they classified as great spiritual leaders. Not even the followers of Christ got much credit. However, being a follower is much more valuable than we give credit. And the sadness of our society is that we downplay the importance and the meaningful role that a follower must take on. Give me 1 second. Hallelujah. So let's break down the role of a follower. Webster says, one in service of another. One that follows the opinions of the teaching of another. One who imitates another. So who is called a follower? A follower could be a believer, a disciple, one who gives full loyalty and support to another. Followers may apply to people who attach themselves either to a person or a belief of another. What makes a person a follower? They are diligent, motivated, committed, pay attention to detail, and makes the effort. They're competent. In order to follow, followers must be competent. They must have a relevant knowledge and skill to play the position or be in the position in the role that they've been assigned. Now, you may ask, why would I even entertain this word, role, and concept? Since it would seem simple enough to know what it means and how it applies in our lives. And you are probably right. However, truth is, with all the negative connotation and ideal feeling that the word invokes, in addition to the literal meaning or primary meaning of the word, within this role and its value, I've come to the conclusion that this role of follower needs to be examined a bit more. Thus, let's look at the word from a biblical perspective. Let me step back. Again, this word follower is like many words that we use today, love, peace, hope. We use these words so loosely, and we don't take the time to really get in depth. It's always like to say, many of the things that we take on, we hear words, we exchange words all the time, but words carry power. in the meanings that they have. And as many times we're so busy serving that we forget the deep sea dive to get the pearls of the wisdom that these words mean and what God intended them to mean. But let's look at one of the great followers, Jesus Christ himself. See, we often see Jesus as a representation of a great leader. However, when we take consideration that the word tells us in John 6:38, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. We can see that through Jesus' own words, he shows us that his role was to be a perfect follower on earth. This perspective of Jesus as a follower should be a great example that being a follower is not a position of weakness, but of strength. It takes something to be humble. I have many friends who often tell me, well, you're a humble guy, you're a nice guy. And today I was actually talking to a friend of mine and said, that's why I don't like the word nice. You know, anybody can be nice, but are they really nice people inside? Are they really kind people? Depending on how we want to define it or perspective. But humility is a different twist. Many people may look at humility as you being John Doerbeck to get walked on, and that may be the case, because the people who walk on you don't understand the depthness of an individual who humbles themselves. See, I mentioned this not too long ago. I think about a week ago, I said, I thought of myself as a people pleaser. That would give the indication that I may be a little weak because I don't have my own stance. I want to make everybody happy. But see, I understand that happiness is temporal. Joy goes on for eternity. Because when you receive the actual joy of the experience of someone who humbles themselves to you, such as a wife humbles herself to a husband humbles himself to a wife, the rewards are great. See, Jesus understood that when he humbled himself to his Father's will, the rewards for us is even great. But sometimes we miss it because we only looking at things from a general perspective. We don't want to do the deep diving. We don't want to do the work. But these words that we use mean so much. And when a person humbles himself to become a follower, he or she is in preparation. See, this should bring us to us Christians to a point of recognizing that the one who would save the world was willing to operate in the role of a follower with integrity, credibility, and competency, where he would be more willing to practice what God called him to do, versus him just operating out of his own self-centeredness if he operates truly as a human being. And this is the problem. Instead of us being Christ-centered to fall into fellowship, we become more self-centered, and we fall more into the world's concept, me, myself, and I. So therefore, we always want to be on top. We saw that if we read the word where the disciples was trying to determine who was going to be first. See, even when they walk with the word, they walk with the living word, their flesh still got in the way. And we have to be careful about that, because if we don't, and we don't want to be the followers, or our fellowship is centered more on us being able to take on leadership for our own pride, our own selfish gain, our own self-seeking behavior, we miss something. But see, humility and being a person who's willing to humble himself to follow with the right heart intent lines up with God's word of his intent. Now consider that Jesus was willing to become a follower himself and not thought of himself higher than he ought to. The scripture tells us in Philippians 2:6-11, it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Jesus was equal with God because he was like God in form, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in his likeness of men. Yet Jesus wasn't looking or trying to be number one, but he viewed as a leader, but more as a servant, a follower in the likeness of another man like us.
This shows us that our role, title, or gender, for that matter, doesn't matter in the sense of somebody being lesser or greater, because Christ came as a follower to do the will of God. He was in a physical form, this case, a man. But he didn't see himself to come as some kind of great leader, as they were looking for this great next David to show up. He came as a humble man. He came to serve. And the scripture tells us, 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedient unto death, as I mentioned earlier. What are you willing to die for? And I know people, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. Peer, that is the unknown. But when we begin to truly walk in God's word, now, as he said, I will show you my salvation. It's not the unknown no more. This is temporal. With God, it's eternal. And that's what we want. We want to be able to live forever with God. Because truly there be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more disappointment, no more letdown, no more wondering. Am I going to be healthy? Am I going to have enough to eat? Am I going to have a place to go? Blah, blah, blah. We won't have to deal with that. Because truly in that moment, when we say that my God supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, there would be no lack. So why wouldn't one celebrate the transition, as one would say, absent from this body and present with the Lord? But I get it. The flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. However, now being in that human form, he could, if you will, adhere to the status that men see to be powerful, famous, and of some stature. He became, Christ, became willing to humble himself unto death to follow the will of his Father. Wherefore God, 9 says, wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which above every name, the rewards are great. The rewards are great. That's why I tell us, do not cast away our confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. You see, even though the world may say being humble followers is a weak, lonely position, God saw it as a sign of strength that did not need to be acknowledged in the way man acknowledged it, but he acknowledged it for its true value, and he rewarded. This should be exciting for us in many ways. You see, 10 tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And then he tells us in 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. See, there's a great reward that's beyond this walk. And because we allow the cares of the world to get in the way, we end up compromising ourselves. You see what the scripture tells us about the sower sows the seed, and it did not tell us that Satan, and we know he has something to do with it. It did not say that Satan chokes out the word, but the cares of life. The cares of life. What will I drink? What will I eat? But it tells us the birds and Solomon, all his splendor, cannot compare to how God takes care of us. So we don't have to worry. We need to be concerned. That is relevant. But we don't have to worry. We don't have to overstress ourselves. A little tension may not be so bad in this human existence. But when we get over the top, we lose sight of the big picture. Because we're so preoccupied with everything ahead of us versus looking at what's before us. See, we're so busy trying to follow, if you will. We see the leader. We want to follow not the leader, but the status and the position of leadership. That we lose sight of following the leader is preparation, providing that we're following the right leader. So being a humble follower is no small feat. Actually, it's a great level to be in. Because of prepare you. I never forget, I saw one time when Johnny Carson, it was a show, Tonight Show, and an individual named Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon. And one day they asked Abraham, do you like being second in command, or if you were to call it the skin banana, I think. And he said it was not a problem because he felt that Johnny Carson was a good leader. But even more so, being second always set you up for the position to be first. So we have to understand that following and humbling ourselves prepares us. Prepares us. Now let's look at some other who humble followers in the Bible. We all know that Jesus had 12 disciples, each of them coming with their own unique characteristics, qualities, and personality. There was Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. But each of them came with their own uniqueness. Now, Jesus could have went and got with the players, if you will. He could have got with the Bill Gates, if you will. He could have got with the T.D. Jakes and the Billy Grahams, but he didn't do that. He came and he got those in those positions that the world said had no value. Fishermen, scandalous tax collectors, men just walking, if you will, the street like the song saying, just a nobody. But Jesus grabbed them up and he asked them to follow me. And I'm going to make you fisher of men. Fisher of men. Fisher of men. I'm going to move you from grabbing the fish in the sea to grab the men to come to me. This is what it was about. Preparation. Preparation. See, and they took up his words. They followed him. And there began their journey to walk with Christ and to do the will of God. And each of them became followers of Christ. But when they did, they were not the perfect followers. Some got angry, some got fearful, some deceptive, some were hungry for rank, status, and position. But all grew to become followers, even when their faith was shaken or got off track. And this walk, and I'm learning this every day. I always call myself a student, disciple, and eventually preparing to be a leader. But each day provides something that you don't know, the unknown, the uncontrollable, the unpredictables. And so it tests your faith at every step of the way. I could imagine David being the shepherd boy, didn't prepare for the lions and the bears, and surely didn't prepare for the giant. Because when he got there, they were trying to give him something that he didn't use. But he had prepared himself through the trials and tribulations of taking care of the sheep, that when that moment came, that which was effective to knock the lion off would be effective to knock the giant down. Being a follower, being a follower, being a humble follower. And even if we go back in the earlier days before Christ, we can look at those such as Noah, Abraham, Moses, Ruth, Esther, Samuel, and David, each in different roles with unique personality and status. But each of them who started in what we consider not so high on the status or position board of life. However, over a course of time, they were appointed to become God's leaders in our Christian Leadership Hall of Fame. And like it was said in Philippians 4:2, God also highly exalted them and gave them a name which above many names to be remembered as followers and leaders for Christ. This is what we must take into account. This is what we must take into account. See, it's not where you start. It's where you end up. See, and many times we don't recognize that because we're just looking at what is in front of us. But we don't know what it takes to become one of them. And many people want the reward, but they don't want to do the work. Everybody want go, but they don't want to dig. Everybody want to be the greatest boxer in the world, but they don't want to take a punch. Everybody want to be a movie star, but they don't want to be a stuntman. Because in that comes challenges. There comes tests and trials. There comes rejection. It comes with not being selected, things that would test the heart, the matter of the heart. But it's okay, because when we recognize that being a humble follower prepares us for leadership, because when you step into leadership, there was an old saying, I think I, I heard it from Spider-Man. And it says, with great status of position come great responsibility. And I might be off on the exact words. But basically, when you take on these higher positions, there becomes a point where now you have more responsibility. I can remember this one moment that Trump humbled himself. Obama and Trump actually sat down, and Obama had informed Donald Trump of the great responsibilities of being a president. And it was more than a notion. And, you know, Trump being Trump, yeah, that's cool. I get it. But he really got it in that first year. And I remember him humbling himself to say that was one thing Obama said was correct. When you get into this role, it's way more than what it looks like. And I know often people say the president should do this and the president should be that, especially our president now, he's old, this and this and this. But with great rewards and great leadership positions come great responsibility. I often say, why would you complain about the president per se when he's running a whole country and you can't run your own household? Humility. One has to learn to follow. The thing that I recognized about President Biden was that the fact that he once was Vice President Biden, and he humbled himself in the second position to learn from the first about the first position. Hallelujah. Consider this small elaboration on being a humble follower. It's no crime to be in followership position before you can take the leadership position that God has assigned us from the beginning. I pulled this from an Ivy League business journal, and it said this about the qualities of a good follower, and I kind of merged it with the scriptures, if you will. It says judgment. A good follower has good judgment. Followers must take direction, but not blindly. Good judgment is required to establish the difference between following good instructions and inappropriate instructions that are ethically unsuitable or constitute childlike behavior in an adult body. Paul said that when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, I acted as a child, but when I became an adult, if you will, I put off childish ways. So we learn to use good judgment. The scripture tells us that I did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind to take this thinking process center and use it wisely. And the scripture tells us in John 7:24, do not judge by appearance, but judge with the right judgment. Many times we follow people in leadership roles because of their appearance, their look, their status, and not staying open to learn, as that young man I talked about earlier in the story, to stay open to learn, to allow the Holy Spirit to pour into our teacup so that we can be able to recognize and discern who we're looking at. So 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we have to even be careful to ask God for wise judgment, discernment, if you will, to be able to make sure we're following the right leader and getting what we need in order for our preparation. Again, there's a level of humility that is required even to listen to the Holy Spirit, who truly will guide us. Second, work ethics. Good followers are good workers. They are diligent, motivated, committed, pay attention to detail, and makes the effort. Today, everywhere, many places I go, you can see help wanted, help wanted, help wanted. When I go into places, can't get no help because today's generation, and I'm not even talking age, but we have so much and so access to so much. You get stimulus checks, Social Security. Some countries you don't get nothing. You get help here, you get help there, that people don't even want to work because they don't want to follow. I talked to a friend to say, I have never worked. Let me take that back. They say they never worked but 6 months out of their whole life. And they're over 50. And say it with pride. Because their mind, as the quote said, because they believe in their own self, that, hey, I know it all. I got it all. Now, they've survived. You know, they've survived. But did they thrive? Did they thrive? Did they have the good work ethics to pay attention to detail? Did they have the self-motivation? One of the things I love about being in the Army, you had to develop that self-motivation. Take that initiative. Take that initiative. You know, when Jesus showed up and they were trying to get fish, you know, they had to be humble followers. He said, throw it on the other side. Now, they were like the man. They had a lot of information. They had been fishing all their life, pretty much. He said, who he think he is? He don't know what we talk about. But once they became humble followers and they threw it on the other side, as the scriptures say, they were compensated with great rewards. Hallelujah. And Proverbs tells us in 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. There's a brother who stoned that I look at quite often, and it said that in order to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. In order to expel darkness, you got to be a light. You got to do your due diligence. Next it says that third is competency. In order to follow, followers must be competent. They must have the relevant knowledge and skill to be able to exercise or work in their positional status or prepare for the role that God intended for them. Scripture tells us in Hosea, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. As when I was speaking earlier today, you can't give what you don't have. That's why the scriptures tell my son, attend to my word, incline thy ears to thy saying, let it not depart from thy eyes, but keep it in the midst of thy heart. For it is life unto them that find, and medicine to all of it. You have to put it in your heart. You got to put God's word in your heart so you can be ready to be competent. So when the day comes, you are ready. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. Many people are workers that basically put their own self to shame because they're not prepared. They're not committed. They don't have the knowledge. They have the know of, but not the knowing. So important. Next, it tells us that the follower is honest. Followers have a responsibility to be honest. Respect and exercise politeness are important qualities of a follower. Able to offer constructive criticism and feedback. Now, I don't do the constructive criticism. I kind of change that because for me, people can't handle certain words. So I'll even say the Holy Spirit gave me this, and I go back and forth on that. But anyway, I'll run with it. That I like to say constructive redirection. Because if we're going down the wrong way, if one is open for me to give you redirection, constructive redirection, then you don't get so much out of sort, if you will. Because many people are thin-skinned. In the Army, we tell you don't wear your feelings on your sleeve. Suck it up, drive on. But I notice when I come out here, there's a little more sensitivity. So I had to change the terms around a little bit. Let me give you a different direction to go. If you're humble, you have ears to hear. Because all we're trying to do is get on the right path. As I explained earlier, we're not here to go back and forth to be right or wrong, but to get understanding on how we can be our best. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians 8:21, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Hallelujah. And in Matthew 5:37, it tells us, let what you say be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. See, again, we have to go back and forth. Jesus didn't go back and forth. As I read and study, he didn't go back and forth because he had nothing to prove to man. He said what he said, and he meant what he said. As I've heard it said, say what you mean and mean what you say. This Jesus understood. He didn't have a problem following either. But he followed the right leader, which was his Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit that gave him guidance. And then he would know how to test the spirits, if you will. At least show his disciples that too. Next is courage. It takes real courage to confront a leader about concerns with the leader or the leader's agenda. It takes courage, even if you're a follower, to step up and let that leader know that maybe the the direction you're going is leading us down the wrong path. I've done a lot of that in the military. Matter of fact, not to say this with a boastful tongue, but more so a humble tongue, because I understood the importance of humility even then. As I moved to the various stages of leadership, from the autocratic when I went in during the Vietnam era to the servant leadership when I got out of the Afghanistan period of time, I understood that. And many leaders still held on to the autocratic authoritarian position or leadership. And we had moved various stages. That is the advantage of being in the military over 3 decades. I got to see the changes, and I paid attention in order, and I had ears to hear, and I watched and observed various leaders from all walks of life, all campaigns, all many different military styles. And I recognize that sometimes you had to exercise courage, not because you need to say, I know what I'm talking about, I'm right, but that maybe we can get some clarity and understanding, and all things get understanding so we can ensure that we will save lives, not lose them. Sometimes it takes the ability to confront a leader. And the scripture tells us in 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. We can look at various people, and one of the individuals of the female type was Esther. She showed us what the level of courage to confront her husband, who was the ruler of the land at that time. We can look at Nathan, who had to confront David. Again, but the Holy Spirit gave each of them wisdom, because when he gave them the wisdom to move forward, they knew how to approach the individual in leadership. And therefore, the leaders had ears to hear. Ears to hear. Hallelujah. 6, discretion. Follows old leadership discretion. Talking about your leader, your putting them down and spreading rumors and gospel is inappropriate, is unhelpful, and truly will bring about harm. We saw this when Judas Iscariot began to go and change hands and go talk to the spiritual leaders about Jesus, what he saw in Jesus, and fell short. And it cost him. He had abandoned, if you will, his brothers. But Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonored man spares strife, and a whisper separate close friends. He separated from his team, from his bond, from his band of brothers. And then Proverbs 20:19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple blabber. Be careful how we interact with each other. I know many people, because I deal with many people from all walks of life, and now I've learned that when I hear someone doing a whole lot of chit-chatting, or they're degrading, belittling, or putting people down, I'm beginning now to pray in the spirit, even if I don't get up and leave, because sometimes it's not appropriate to get up and leave. But even when it's not, I know I can pray, and the Holy Spirit gives me peace, and I smile, because now I know I don't have to get into all that. Next is loyalty. Loyalty is important and relies on strong alliance and commitment. Alliance and commitment. Loyalty is a part of the army value. The soldiers, again, we're not going to the playground. We're going to the battleground, people. A lack of loyalty can cause problems between anyone and everyone. It compromises the outcome and it compromises one's performance. Quality loyalty is not a synonym for lapdog, though. Oh, you're not that John Doerr. Followers should remember that their obligation is to their calling and assignment from God, not necessarily to give in to the leaders. I see many people, especially in the spiritual circle, where many people fall to their leader. Then when their leader falls short, they're devastated. Because you put that man on the pedestal, or that woman on the pedestal, and it don't just have to be spiritual. This can be in marriage. This can be in friendship. This can be at work. This can be any. You put these people up, and you miss the big picture. So there's a sense of loyalty that should be committed, but when someone violates that themselves, we have to recognize that they're in their human body. And again, as Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Maybe in the moment they didn't fully know. They were going through the motions, but they didn't fully know. Especially they didn't know the outcome. But when the outcome produces itself, we have to go and ask God to give us discernment in order to make the right decisions. So we still maintain our loyalty, but not to the man, but to the cause. Romans 8:13:1 said, let every person be subjected to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And then the scripture tells us in John 15:13, greater love no one has than this, that someone laid down their life for his friend. There is that sense of loyalty. Jonathan was ready to do that for David, but he understood who David was. He understood who David was. Hallelujah. And then 8, pride management. Good fathers have their pride under control. They are the people who give in the full sense of the word, that they control those emotions, that ego. They recognize they have to be accountable, responsible to the assignment that God gave them. And do not look for personal recognition and self-promotion, but stick to the primary will of God, that Jesus said, that not my will be done, but your will be done. And Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord detests all proud hearts. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And Proverbs 16:80 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Therefore, as we go forward in our God-given assignment, like Jesus, let us remember these words that Jesus stated before he was about to go and do the ultimate sacrifice. In Luke 22:41-42, Jesus withdrew about a stone thrown beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah. Let me just share the soldier's perspective. Fathers are truly future leaders. Following someone doesn't always seem like the position you want to take on. Yet following is the beginning of one's leadership journey. Comes into the world knowing it all, except Jesus. But he took the human form to show that it was okay to be a humble child, start off in a humble childlike beginning in order to take on adult responsibility that was due at an appointed time. Follow an intent that someday you will lead, but learn all you can to become all God needs you to be in order to truly be his image bearer. One must be a humble follower to be truly God's leader. Remember Mark 10:35-45, and Jesus explained that he came as the Son of Man to give his life as ransom. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He was willing to follow his Father's instruction to be a ransom for many. That many is us. That many is us. All that we do and all that we are to be is for to serve our God and to serve our neighbors as ourselves. This is truly the commandment of God. So if you think that being a follower is a lowly, weak position, think twice. Think twice. Truly, when you learn to follow, you can be truly become God's true leader. God gave me, Holy Spirit gave me an acronym, if you will, and I use it from time to time, forgot about it. And then it came up about a week ago, and it was PACE. We have to pace ourselves. I'm not the best at that. But I know the acronym is significant and relevant. P is for preparation. We must allow God to prepare us for our assignment. A is for attitude. We need the right attitude to be like Jesus, that is not my will, but your will be done. C, we must be willing to commit. We must be willing to commit. What are you willing to die for? What are you willing to commit to? And the E, have the expectation that God would do what his word was sent to do. Don't return void. And the extra E is to execute. You got to be ready to do the work. Faith without works is dead. You got to be willing to do the work. So be ready to be that humble follower, to be God's great leader. Because all we say in the army all the time, who's the leader? Everybody is. And people will say, no, he ain't a leader. Yes, he is, or yes, she is. Because you never know the day or the hour when the time will come, such as a time like this, that you have to step up. One gets shot down and one stands up to rock and roll. Saw it many, many times. Many, many times. Someone asked me, could a woman be a leader and from the front line? Well, that's a blur now. Over the years, there's really no front line. Everywhere is danger zone, or we call it the kill zone. But I said, I've seen many men who could shoot flies wings off at 300 meters. As soon as the first round came to them, they were shaking like Don Knotts. And I've seen women who basically, they would call it back in the day, Twiggy, little bitty old thing, and step up like Hulk Hogan and knock down any giant. So, oh, yes, it is not the status. God looks at the heart, not the appearance. I know we like to make things in categories, man, woman, black and white, but that's all just a shell. We got to be ready to step up and take our humble beginning as a humble follower to become ready for the great position that God called us to do as his image bearer and his leaders in Christ. So it always, for those who have not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, those who have now come to the point where maybe they're open to receive and they have ears to hear, this is a simple plan. You just have to go to ABCs, accept Christ, believing that he died for your sin, hallelujah, and confess with your mouth that you accept Jesus as your Lord. But I tell you, that's the easy part. The struggle becomes when you begin to do the walk. And like any walk, it's not even a run. Like any walk, if you walk long enough, your legs get tired. Your back may hurt a little bit. You may sweat a little bit. But as you can keep moving forward, as they say, you get that second wind and you're ready to run. So be open. Be open to be a humble follower. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You'll be glad you did. And as always, before we go, if you like the messages that we're presenting and not like because it gives you some warm, fuzzy feeling, that's okay too. But you like that you're ready to grow. You're ready to be a seed that was planted, a seed that was planted you, and you're ready to grow and bloom. Then you'll want to receive it more knowledge. So as always, you can check us out at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. And you can also contact us at 313-583-9739. And if you're so into the ministry, you can so into the ministry at www.giveify.com, GIVELIFY.com. And always in party, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous things that God would do. You have a wonderful week. God bless.